Ecclesiastes for a change.
We're going to retire on Ecclesiastes.
We're almost done with the 11th chapter. It's a very short chapter.
It's a remarkable feat.
We're on verse 6 of chapter 11. In the morning sow thy seed, and in the evening withhold not thine hand, for thou knowest not whether shall prosper either this or that, or whether they both shall be alike good. Now, there's all kinds of discussions about this, of course. And it means, as a lot of people say, study the Torah in your youth, and then study it again when you're old, because you don't know which is blah, blah, blah. And then there's some you should have kids when you're young, and then also have them when you're old, because you don't know which will live. And there's a great story about Rabbi Akiba, who is the one of the two or three, I guess, Gamaliel, Hillel, and Akiba are the three most famous rabbis in Judaism, huh?
And Jose
and Job.
No, Jose and that he's a good one. He was one of Rabbi Akiba's disciples.
The nose.
Right?
Who was the nose?
The Rabbi Nasi. Anyway, Akiba was the one that was responsible for starting the Bar Kokhba rebellion in AD 132. And so he's a big hero in They're both political. He was one that tried to rebuild the temple, and the last possible time it was for the temple to be rebuilt. Anyway, he had 12,000 disciples, it says, from north to south. In other words, from the northern edge of Israel all the way, both in what it means is both in Israel and in Judah.
Like a mega church.
Huh?
A mega church, but different locations.
Yeah.
Satellite.
All died between Passover and Pentecost during his lifetime. And not the same Passover and Pentecost, but during that period of Passover and Pentecost. Only seven remain. And the former died, the 12,000 died because they did not treat each other with respect. Is that what the mystery says? Because of envy and wanting something that the other person had. And the seven that remained, they're all famous rabbis. Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Jose, etc., etc. And these seven arose and filled the land with the knowledge of the mystery of God. And as I said, it's also applied to children. But it's interesting when you translate those words. Sow thy seed. Sow is zara, which means to become pregnant. And seed is zera, which is semen. And so, in the morning, it means either at the end of night or at the end of distress. And so the idea, it's really a call to repentance at all times, in the morning and in the evening, when you're young, when you're old, because you don't know whether or not the repentance is complete at any time. That's what the real meaning of this is. So you can't say, I repented of this before. Or it's literally a call. And this is one of the places where I've often said that truth is a sustained consciousness of error. And so that repentance isn't an act just like humility isn't an act, it's a way of life. And it only can come once the revelation, once you've seen, once you've been seated on the mercy seat, once you know that mercy seat, you've tasted and known that the Lord is good and gracious, and it, you've known it deep within you, then repentance becomes as natural as breathing. In fact, that's what many of the ancient guys said, that that breathing is the reminder for constant repentance. You breathe in the Holy Spirit, you breathe out you. So it's a repentance that never, ever stops. So again, in the morning sow thy seed, in the evening withhold not thine hand, for thou knowest not whether shall prosper either this or that, or whether they both alike shall be alike good. Does everybody see the connection?
Well, literally sow thy seed. I don't want to get anybody pregnant. But is it in the sense of cast your bread? Is it something like cast your bread on the water?
No, because it's different meaning. No, it relates to the word sperma. And it's the same as in the word for right arm in Hebrew is zeruah, which is the strength, the seed, the heritage. So all of these scriptures about the seed in the New Testament, when that uses the word seed, it's sperma. In the Old Testament, it's zeruah or zera. And so the whole idea of the what fascinates me is that modern theology, both they quote this scripture as an that you should give more money to them, but the sperma of God they've transformed into money. And it's so far away from anything that's conceivable, because I mean it's a technical word. They didn't use sperma by accident in English, or I mean in Hebrew or in Greek, in the writing of the Bible. So anyway, you're doing it again.
Well,
you leave. You understand that you leave when you do this.
I don't feel like I'm leaving. I'm thinking in terms of what we discussed yesterday of not taking this personal. You know, not hearing this as something that I need to do.
You better hear it as personal if it's regarding repentance.
Well, that I hear.
Okay.
Appreciate it. But I'm just thinking about that comment yesterday of, you know, we don't read this to see how to behave and act and do, but to see Christ. And it was interesting starting out because it seems very personal, cast your seed, do this and do that. But, you know, as you went on, it fell into place. So, you know, it's just like the breathing example. You can't, there's none of you there.
Hold your breath.
Yeah.
Keep you in. Hold your breath. You can't do it.
Yeah. So you win taking the Holy Spirit in. You win pulling yourself out. So.
All right. Let's really address this about seeing yourself. Let's go to James chapter 1. James is right after Hebrews. For those of you who haven't found it yet. Chapter 1, verse 22. Be you doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. Okay, that sounds like there's something to do.
A doer.
Be a doer. And I've heard that scripture spoken in that regard, not only in here from some of you, but almost daily when I manage to turn over to one of the religious networks. Be a doer of the word. But watch what it says. Be doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word only, and not a doer, He is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself, and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. In other words, you look into the scriptures, you see something to do, and then you make the attempt at doing it, and pretty soon you've forgotten about it, and you're doing your normal crap. Okay? No, listen. But whosoever looketh into the perfect law of liberty, and the perfect law of liberty is only applied to Messiah anywhere in the scriptures. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth, he being not a forgetful here, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. You can only do by seeing. But if you see your natural face, you can never do. Now, you know this. You've seen it. How many thousand times have you heard somebody, a few in this room, say, well, I forgot? Because you were hearing it as something to do, therefore you looked into the perfect law of liberty, which is really the whole scripture, everything in here, because it all reveals Jesus Christ, all reveals Messiah. You look in here and you see, and you say, aha, this is something I can... But it's the motivation, the I motive is still there. So you can't sing the new song. You sing the old boring song, but then you forget the words to the second verse. You got it? You really understand this?
Well, it's like you said before, where you had constant knowing your own sin. It's like you forget what manner of man you are because you forget that and you feel like I'm the kind of guy that can actually do this stuff.
I just had this hour, 2 hour discussion about this very issue yesterday with Mr. Bruce. You understand this, Mr. John? Mr. Harry?
Well, yeah, I understand it. But, God, it's slippery. I mean, you know, I mean, I know. The minute I think, the minute the thought forms, I've repented. I haven't repented. But that is, I mean, that is just slippery as shit. That is...
Well, we're here.
I don't know how you or anybody else remains aware of what we're talking about without being aware of self. It's just... I understand, but man,
You've heard me say this. The first few years I was a believer... I must have repented 100,000 times a day. That's all I did. Because I saw in that first experience that I could never again... I could never again me. I could never again I.
Do the me
thing. Huh?
Do the me thing.
And so every time... And your mind, you're right. Your mind always is slippery because your mind thinks, aha, now I got it. Aha, now I understand it. Aha, now, aha, this, aha, that. Or if you're on the other side of the verse, oh my God, I've been here 10,000 years and I still don't understand it. Oh, it's so slippery. Either way, it's I.
Yeah. Yeah. It's the smallest word there is, and it's just insidious, is all I'm saying. It's just.
But the only way that you can know not the I is by finding out either by empathy or by experience that everything else is stupid, empty, vain, fruitless. So anytime I comes up, whether it's in judgment or in aha, then repentance is necessary. Even down to and including I understand the scriptures. Every aspect of I has to be repented of. That's what the scriptures call sanctification really is. It's until there is no aha. I mean, there's always going to be an aha. But if once there is, even if you think of something really good, that you really see something, you've got to say, Father, forgive me. I've resurrected. He's been resurrected again. The evil one is resurrected again. I'm trying to turn this milk and honey of the mystery of God into dust because I'm bringing it back to self. Now, some of you, it depends. Who knows why? But it's always the dust you eat is always negative, and some of you, the dust you eat is always positive because you always got some great idea. So it's sweet dust, it's honey coated dust, and I don't know why that happens, because your inner child is something or something. Who knows? But either way, you've resurrected. You have resurrected the evil one from the deadly head wound.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. That you can't say, well, I can't get this because I had a bad childhood. And you can't say, I can't get this because I had a good childhood. I mean, it's good or bad is down the river.
Well, plus the fact that we've all tried those.
Yeah. I saw a minute ago when you were talking about repentance. I forget exactly how it was structured, but it's like repentance is not a difficult thing if you're thrown out there.
Is breathing difficult?
No, it's there. But if you're back here dancing and trying to get it right, repentance is very difficult because now it's a decision, an act, an effort. It's work. And it doesn't work even if you do it.
No, because you remember the only place that that's what it means, and again, this is different for each person in terms of how it manifests, but you're always, every step you take in life is always on the knife edge of soul and spirit. And so that knife edge is very dangerous. That's why it is very dangerous to be a believer. But at the same place, that moment, while I say it's very dangerous, it's the most protected, secure, peaceful, at rest place there is. But it's extremely dangerous to you. That's why it's such an apostasy that we have all of these, now they call the Bible the good news for modern man. It's not good news. It's only good news if you've seen that everything else is empty and futile. But as long as you've got these things, then it's not good news to you. It will always make you the enemy of the Holy Spirit as long as there's the I motive. And some of you know this very well. The little you get, God blows on it. You earn money to put it in a pocket full of holes. Not just money, you earn points. Or, you know, that's what we talked about yesterday about bribing. You want to either give or take bribes constantly so that you can get somebody's response to you, or you can get the right response from them. Or it's unending. That's why repentance has to be total, empty. He cannot occupy where you are. Period. And you must know by now that all of those little, you know, to return to another stupid cliche, all those little trips you've made to drink the sour milk, you know they're fruitless. Oh, this time I'm going to be a hero. Or this time, oh no, it's happening to me again, and the other shoe is dropping, and the small print giveth and the large print taketh away, and oh poor, oh. Why?
No, I was just amused with the realization that if repentance is the laying down of self, the denial of self, the dismissal of this I motive, then how ridiculous it is to be thinking, I can't repent, or how can I repent? It's
all right.
I, struggling with repentance, is just a smokescreen for I to keep going. I don't know how to say this. The idea of looking everywhere for the Antichrist, rather than realizing the Antichrist is behind the thing that's looking and between the things that are listening, and right behind the thing that is speaking, It's not out there. You know, it's so close. It's such a close kinsman. It's so inside the fort that you're trying to keep the Indians out of. I mean, it's just...
Well, it's spiritually, instead of sowing your seed, you're masturbating. As long as the I motive is, it's spiritual masturbation.
But I feel so good struggling to do the right thing.
I feel for you.
And I just make fun of you when you do.
It's just ridiculous.
Oh, I'm not protecting your image of self. I'm not helping you enhance your image.
I need a good life coach.
A life coach.
What? I wish you guys would say what you're thinking or asking or talking about to yourself. Jeff?
I don't know what this morning. Just, I'm listening.
He has no what.
I have something that's
so what?
Squirreling around. And because the bottom line is be with everything, just be, and God will take care of what is. But this half commitment, I go back to learning how to do a layout with a full twist off the high bar. When you let go and you start spinning, you don't want to stop halfway through for fear's sake. And protecting yourself, because that guarantees you're going to crash. And I'm just thinking about how perfect that is. You commit, you let go, and you're flying through the air, and you land right, you hope.
Well, the only difference is, in order for you to learn that as an athlete, you had to practice and practice and practice. In order for you to learn this spiritually, you have to unpractice. You have to empty at all times.
Yes.
Because he is the way. At every single juncture, at every single stimulus, he never stops being the way. And you are never the way.
Yeah, and that's how you put on Christ. You don't put on Christ by learning and packing him on.
No.
You put it on by...
You put on Jesus Christ and make no provision to fulfill the lusts of the flesh. Now, the lust of the flesh, that sounds like, well, I'm not going to go down and go whoremongering. Well, yes, you are, because you're doing it in your mind. Or you're, well, I'm protecting myself because I'm not saying anything. No.
A good example of the lust of the flesh is I want to repent.
What?
A good example of the lust of the flesh is I want to repent.
You want to do anything to gain something. I think we went through that once before.
I threw that out as a bone.
You want to give me a bone? Or give me a layup?
Yeah. That's a three-pointer for you.
You were going to say something, and I interrupted you a while back.
And I'm a little upset about it. I don't recall exactly what it was I was going to say, and now you bring it up.
Now you're mad at me. You can lodge a complaint to the GAO.
One other thing, whatever that was, I don't know, but... You know, that thing about pocket full of holes, you know, you gather all this stuff together. You know, you're talking about, you know, just in your everyday interactions with people trying to get esteem and make things happen and get people to, you know, think you're higher than you are. You bank that, and it evaporates in the that's the, you put all these, like, some of these metaphors actually do fit together with other ones, you know.
They all do.
Wild.
Like cotton candy, like disappearing ink on your
flesh. But it's the same as you were when you were a kid and sent off for all these crap. Now you're sending off for your in your head. Yeah. I'm going to get some glasses that I can see through dresses. That's what I'm going to. X-ray vision.
Human growth hormone on my shorts.
Well, whatever it is, it's just childish. You're perfect the way you are. He has perfected you by one offering. There's nothing left. The offering is both eternal and infinite and all three, perfect. There's nothing you can't add to eternity. You can't improve on perfection. I mean, so why do you go through this crap? It's not slippery. It's only slippery if you're trying to save yourself. Go ahead and fall. Go ahead and go down that tube. You do anyway. You visit the pit. That's what Revelation, that chapter is about. You just keep visiting it over and over, and it finally doesn't get tired. Harry spent half the 35 years I've known him. Harry's maybe a half, but a good amount of time.
35 years.
Well, however long it is, it's a long time.
Feels like 70.
Feels like about 300. But he spends his life in the pit.
Could have been a contender.
Oh, God. You don't have to do that. Just stop trying to save. If you save your life, you'll lose it. Period. In every aspect of it. It's not just if you save your life, it's you seek to save. If you seek to save the I motive, because the I motive is you. Well, I'm. That's right.
But my motives are good.
Sweet.
That's right. I'm just trying to do the best I can.
It's like in Mary's thing that she says, talks about the rich should be brought low or something. It's those who are enriching themselves.
Amen. I mean, people sit here, I mean, we've seen it, and they hear these words, but still they're trying to take them to self. They're trying to learn how to do it, or how to get it right, or how to say something, or, how to learn the next cliche. It's just stupid. You didn't learn anything before when you went through the other whole 9 yards of learning how to talk and write and do or whatever you did for your education, you never learned it anyway. And why do you think you're going to learn this? And you're not. It's because it's impossible, because there's a great gulf between this mystery of God and you and I. The cross doesn't let you walk across it. It's so simple. Stop trying to protect and save yourself and gain anything, and just abandon yourself to Him. He's longing to show you His perfection, the perfection of His holiness. But not show it to you, I'm going to look over there. Show it to you in you, so that it replaces your illegal worship that's going on in you as the temple of God now. All right, that's enough. I don't feel like talking anymore.
Where's Sweet Pete?
Sweet Pete is at a breakfast meeting.
This is a breakfast meeting.
That I asked him to go to, huh?
Still trying to get Jay.
Wait, don't be.
Well, we don't really want to record.
He's got the floor.
Well, he's in there.
Well, it's still recording.
It's still recording.